Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. You hear the words United Nations, and the first thoughts that come into the minds of most Americans is wasted taxpayer dollars. But we need to look beyond the wasted tax dollars to the UN's attempt at attacking United States sovereignty. UN treaties fall under that category, and the one being pushed the hardest in the U.S. Senate is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, or CRPD, a nice-sounding treaty like so many of them are. My guest today is Will Estrada. He is the Director of Federal Relations with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, or HSLDA. Thanks, Will, for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the beginning. What is HSLDA?
Well, HSLDA was founded in 1983. We are the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and our mission is to preserve, defend, and support homeschooling at the local level, at the state level, at the national level, and recently at the international level as well.
That's fantastic, because we do see the homeschooling movement moving out of the U.S. and into the international scene, which I think that's a credit to parents who see the dangers of having their children in public school and how their kids are being indoctrinated. So I credit that to parents seeing what's going on. And I appreciate the HSLDA being involved, not only here in the U.S., but internationally. And you're also involved in educating, because this treaty, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, would not only impact homeschool parents, but any parent with a child with disabilities.
That's absolutely the case. You know, as you said in the beginning, this is one of those UN treaties that sounds really good. All of us, each and every one of us, wants nothing more than to fight for and to defend and stand up for the rights of people with disabilities. Our nation has been a world leader for decades. We have the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. We have many other laws and policies in our nation which not only protect and advance the rights of people with disabilities in our country, but our nation also spends hundreds of millions of dollars every year in foreign aid to build wheelchair ramps to support people with disabilities overseas. So it's kind of a surprising when you see this treaty and when you see what it would do. It has three major concerns, because when we start to dig into it, we see this is an incredibly dangerous treaty. It would surrender sovereignty to the United Nations. It would weaken the protections that we have for people with disabilities in our own country. And then it would threaten homeschool freedom. And I'll just walk through all three of those real quick.
Can I interrupt right quick? So you're saying that everyone knows we have the Americans with Disabilities Act and such as that, but we also spend hundreds of millions of dollars internationally to help with countries who are trying to help their, or intervene with helping their disabled citizens?
We also do. That's been well documented by the Heritage Foundation, uh-huh, that at least since the late 1990s, every year we give hundreds of millions of dollars through USAID to build wheelchair ramps, to help with accessibility, in addition to all the other billions of dollars in foreign aid that we give. So the U.S. is the world leader. Our staff have been at the U.N. where people are saying we need to be more like the United States. And it seems like, instead of that we have some people in our Senate who are saying, no, we've got to be more like the world, when really the world is looking up to the U.S. as a leader on people with disabilities.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, go through the step through as to how very terrible this treaty is.
So in Article 7 of the treaty, it says, in all actions concerning children with disabilities, the best interests of the child shall be a primary consideration. In our country, in our legal system, best interests is only used in two instances. In a divorce case, mom and dad can't agree, a court steps in, or if there's been a finding of abuse or neglect, and a court steps in and removes children. Best interests is only used in one of those two instances. You know, our Supreme Court has said, dating back to the 1920s, to Pierce versus Society of Sisters, a very famous Supreme Court case, that the right of parents to direct the education and upbringing of their children is a fundamental right. Mm-hmm. This treaty would substitute best interests over parental rights. You know, if you have any question of how that would look, people need look no further than what happened in Massachusetts
yes.
with
oh,
the
yeah.
case of Justina Pelletier,
right.
where government officials used best interests over parental rights.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue is the sovereignty concern, and it's where this treaty establishes a UN committee of experts who will be tasked with reviewing how countries implement the treaty. You know, again, we are the world leader in advancing the rights and opportunities of people with disabilities. This treaty would bring in the UN to supervise our country. The UN, you know, maybe there's some good things that it does, but it's very hostile. It's made up of countries which are very hostile to our freedom, to homeschool freedom, to
mm-hmm.
parental rights, towards our nation, actually.
The
and these would be the people coming in to monitor our nation's
exactly.
implementation
the
of the treaty.
The only thing good I can think the UN does is spend money.
That you know, and there's even been a case that no one knows where that money is going.
Yeah.
There's been corruption scandals.
Mm-hmm.
The UN, I think, was founded on noble principles, mm-hmm. but as the decades have unfolded, it's become more corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It's become extremely leftist.
Yeah.
It's not a friend to our country.
No.
And then the third concern is actually in the pro-life area. Article 23 and Article 25 of the treaty get into what's called sexual and reproductive health, and that's a buzzword. It's actually included for the first time in any UN treaty in the Disabilities Treaty. That term has been, sexual and reproductive health, has been a term which has been defined to include the quote-unquote right to an abortion by the World Health Organization, by UN bodies, and by our former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And what it says in Article 25 is that nations which ratify the Disabilities Treaty need to provide the same range, quality, and standard of free health care and programs as provided to other people, including in the area of sexual and reproductive health and population-based public health programs. If our Senate ratifies this treaty, we are going to have UN officials coming in and saying, okay, U.S., are you giving free abortion services to people with disabilities?
Do you think
it's completely mind-boggling that our Senate would consider ratifying this
treaty.
Well,
do you think those two sections, you said Article 25 and 27, those are
Articles 23 and 25.
23 and 25. Do you think that's why the Harry Reid and the Democrats are pushing this so hard?
You know, here's something that's fascinating. This treaty was actually approved by the Committee on Foreign Relations, and in that committee hearing, we were there, Senator Marco Rubio introduced what's called a RUD, a Reservation Understanding or Declaration. It's basically an amendment to a treaty, and that RUD would have said that this sexual and reproductive health sentence would not include the right to an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara Boxer got up. She was furious, and she said, no, we need to have this because people with disabilities need abortion services, and that Marco Rubio RUD was voted down. So the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, when they had a chance to clarify that this would not include, you know, free government-funded abortions, they voted down that amendment to the treaty.
So to
they
me,
said what they want to,
yeah,
this
exactly.
treaty to
that,
be doing.
That fully indicates what they want, more abortions.
You know, as you dig into this treaty, it's over 35 pages long, and you realize that it's not what the supporters have said. You know, just a statement of support for people with disabilities. It is a UN treaty, a United Nations document, that gets into the heart of, you know, local control, our system of federalism, where the states have you know, all the powers not given expressly to the federal government in our Constitution, and down into the family and into the home and into the debate over life and abortion and the pro-life debate. This is a UN treaty that meddles with our country. And I always remind people, Article 6 of our U.S. Constitution says treaties become the supreme law of the land, and they bind the judges in every state. You know, it's right up there with federal law, with an act of Congress. It's below the Constitution, thankfully,
yeah.
but up there with an act of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And where are our laws dealing with homeschooling, for example, or parental rights? They're generally state laws.
Right.
This
yeah.
treaty would federalize vast swaths of our legal system,
yeah.
of our law, and it would also trump all of our state laws allowing homeschooling.
Well, apparently then-Senator John Kerry hadn't read that part of the Constitution that you just read, because in December 2012, he argued that U.S. ratification of a treaty would impact other nations but have no effect on us. He asserted that ratification of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities would, quote, give us a seat at the table, unquote, whereby we can pressure other nations to respect human rights while requiring no changes to United States laws. Apparently he hasn't read that part of the Constitution you just read.
You know, giving Secretary Kerry the benefit of the doubt, I guess he hasn't read that section of the Constitution in quite a while.
Yeah.
Because Supreme Court cases have actually, there's a case, you know, dating back over 50 years now called Missouri versus Holland, mm-hmm. where the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that treaties increase the power of the federal government, and they basically said what the Constitution says. You know, going back to our founders, they were thinking about treaties that dealt with nations and nations, how nations treat each other.
Right.
And of course, you know, you didn't want Pennsylvania to keep fighting England at the same time that Virginia had signed the treaty mm-hmm. saying there would no longer be a war against England, so you want treaties to be the supreme law of the land. But what we've seen with the rise of these United Nations treaties, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the CEDAW Women's Treaty, now the Disabilities Treaty, mm-hmm. is that these are treaties that are United Nations documents that go down into the very heart of the family.
Yeah.
It's no longer dealing with just how nations treat nations.
Yeah, and that's very troubling because, you know, as we see, you know, almost on a daily basis, there's activity within the UN where you have non-governmental NGOs that are pushing their agenda, like pushing the homosexual agenda, and then we have the pro-abortion advocates pushing for more free abortions for every woman or every child out, you know, throughout the entire world. And there's those who are using the UN to push their agenda, which that was never the, at least I don't think that was ever the original intention of the United Nations when it was first formed back in 48 or whenever it was first formed. So we see these various organizations using the United Nations to push their radical agendas.
You know, I mentioned the concern about sovereignty, mm-hmm. and at its heart, what sovereignty means is self-governance. That we as the citizens of a country get to elect our leaders who make our laws and to hold them accountable. And with the United Nations, you know, with this treaty, with other United Nations treaties, it steps away from that. We have never voted for any of these UN officials who are drafting the UN Disabilities Treaty. We can't hold that UN committee that monitors the implementation of the treaty. We can't hold it accountable. If our Senate were to ratify this treaty, it would be surrendering a vast swath of self-governance, of the ability of us as citizens to hold the people who make laws accountable. We would be surrendering that to an unaccountable, undemocratic United Nations. And I wish that more of our senators would realize that it's not just concerns about homeschooling and parental rights and abortion, even though those are so important. It's a crucial question about self-governance.
It's an excellent point. We have not voted the representatives who are in the UN who have written this treaty. We have not voted them in to basically write our laws if it's ratified by the U.S. Senate. And Barack Obama, about one of the first things he did when he took office during his first term was to sign that treaty, the U.N. Convention.
That's correct. You know, here's the fascinating history of the treaty. The U.N. began to draft it under the Bush administration, mm-hmm. George W. Bush administration, in the early 2000s. And President Bush and the State Department, the folks who were at the U.N., were very upfront with the U.N. They said, we are not going to sign this treaty. We're definitely not going to ratify it because we think the U.S. is a world leader, mm-hmm. and we want countries around the world to look to our laws as a model.
Right.
So we'll be involved in the drafting. We'll monitor what's going on, but just so you know, we're not going to sign it. When the treaty was finished and adopted by the General Assembly in late 2006, early 2007, the Bush administration officials said the same thing. They said, mm-hmm. you know, this is a very helpful treaty for countries overseas that have never tried to protect people with disabilities, but the U.S. is not going to sign it. They wrote documents. They made it very clear. And a few days ago, actually, I think it was on Wednesday, Senator Harkin stood up in the Senate floor and he said, and George W. Bush supports this treaty. He's incorrect about that. He was wrong about that. The Bush administration refused to sign the treaty. They refused to send it to the Senate. It wasn't until President Obama came in that he signed the treaty and that he sent it immediately over to the Senate in 2012 and is pressuring them and trying to use every force at his disposal to get the U.S. Senate to ratify this treaty.
So how many senators who were in there during the Bush years are going to remember that, in fact, President Bush was strongly opposed to the treaty? I mean, how long is their memory?
Well, yesterday, actually, I spoke to many of the senators, and
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I just need to correct the record of what Senator Harkin said, that the Bush administration did not support this treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have that document. It's written by Troy and Tracy Justison. They were the folks who were advising our State Department delegation at the UN. And our listeners can go to hslda.org/CRPD, Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and you can find that under our articles. Because I think it's a very important issue that, there's nowhere near a consensus that our nation should ratify this treaty. The more we look at it, the more concerning it looks on a host of issues. And it's our top issue right now, fighting to make sure that the Senate does not, try to ratify this treaty.
Right, and in fact, you mentioned Harkin said that about Bush, completely rewriting history, which Democrats seem to be very good at doing. But he was also trying to bring the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. I don't know why they always make those titles more difficult to say. But I don't have to say anyway. What I have to say
it's the UN. There's nothing simple about it.
Yeah, right. He was actually trying to kind of sneak it in, and by the unanimous consent, and he was basically sneaking in to where it be brought to the floor of the House but the Senate for a vote, because Harry Reid is very determined to get this vote. Doesn't he want it voted on before the elections in November?
Well, that's the interesting thing. On July 22nd, back in 2012, the U.S. Senate actually defeated the treaty. It was the first time a treaty was defeated by the full Senate in recent memory. In fact, it could be the first time ever. I'm not certain about that. So in 2012, in December, the treaty was defeated by a vote of 61-38. Right. And however, as you said, Harry Reid and the supporters, they brought it back this Congress. In July of 2014, so July of this year, the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved the treaty. It was a vote of 12-6, and they sent it to the Senate for consideration. Now, we were very worried that the treaty was going to come up before Election Day, but the Democrats and the supporters of the treaty realize that they just don't have the votes. They've been hearing from concerned citizens, from people all across our country who are very skeptical about UN treaties, and particularly this UN treaty because of the dangers that it has to our freedom. And the good news is, yesterday the U.S. Senate adjourned. They won't be coming back to Washington, D.C. until, I believe, Wednesday, November 12th, so the treaty will not come up before then. However, as you said, Harkin tried to get the treaty through on Wednesday through what's called a unanimous consent. Mm-hmm. Mike Lee from Utah, he stood up and he objected, so the treaty went nowhere. But we are we think there's a very high likelihood that the supporters of this treaty will bring it back for a vote in the lame duck sometime after November 12th. Our senators need to hear from us before we surrender our sovereignty to the United Nations.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would not be surprised to know. During the lame duck session of 2010, they did so much damage during that lame duck session. I think lame duck session should be done away with.
I completely agree. Actually, Senator Lee and Senator Cruz from Texas, they both sent a joint letter to Harry Reid and to the leadership of the Senate saying, we will try and do everything in our power to stop any non-urgent business that the Senate takes up in a lame duck session. Senator Toomey, Senator Corker from Tennessee, Senator Toomey from Pennsylvania, they've also been great supporters against this treaty. They've been doing a great job speaking out about the dangers. Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah, he's been another champion, and Senator Hatch has been a leader for decades in our country on advancing the rights of people with disabilities. He pretty much wrote the Americans with Disabilities Act, and he's given several great speeches about the concerns with this treaty and why our Senate should not ratify it. And I encourage our listeners to watch some of those speeches, again, at hslda.org/CRPD.
And you said that there's also that article that was written about Bush not supporting the treaty when he was president?
Yes, and that's at our webpage as well.
Okay, fantastic. And, again, the only reason I could think that the leftists in the Senate are pushing this so hard, and we have to clarify for those listeners who don't know what the Constitution says, that with Barack Obama's signature in July of 2009, all it takes is a majority of, no, not a majority, all it takes
it takes a two-thirds vote, 67 senators.
Right, 67 senators to ratify this treaty, and it's a done deal. It doesn't go to the House, it's just the Senate. The Constitution just gives the power of advice and consent to the Senate. So once if it is ratified by two-thirds vote, we would at that point be under the dictates of the UN treaty. So it's very concerning, and I'm glad that Senators Cruz and Lee have sent a letter to Harry Reid, you know, saying just use, if you're going to lose, basically, if you're going to use a lame duck session after November election, just use it to deal with important issues, not
absolutely vital. I think it was the letter said vital to our national security. I think
okay.
That's pretty much all they said a lame duck session should be used for.
Let's see. Let's close the borders on the south and things like that. I mean, I would think that'd be like at the top of the list of things for national security in dealing with the situation in the Middle East. So Senator Toomey does oppose this treaty, so that's good. So what we need to do as Pennsylvanians, we need to concentrate on convincing our other senator, Bob Casey Jr., that this is a bad idea.
You know, Bob Casey says that he is pro-life, and
he
we've met
that.
With his office. We've shared this. You know, actually, in 2006, the Vatican refused to sign on to this treaty because they said because of that sexual and reproductive health language, because of how it's been defined to include an abortion, they just could not in good conscience even sign on to the treaty. And so far, you know, Senator Casey has not changed his support. He voted for the treaty in December of 2012. But I think, you know, he needs to hear from the citizens of Pennsylvania that this is a dangerous United Nations treaty, and we urge him to oppose it.
Absolutely. Yeah, he does say he's pro-life, but I have yet to see any indication of that since he's been in office. I mean, he uses that, and unfortunately too many voters listen to it and still believe that he's like his dad was when it comes to the life issue, and he very much is not like his dad. I just happen to have Senator Casey's Washington phone number. That number is 202-224-6324. That's 202-224-6324. And I encourage our listeners to contact Senator Casey and ask him to oppose the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. It's very vital for our sovereignty. It's very vital for parental rights that this treaty not be ratified. And, you know, we need to be very much aware that I think even though Senators Cruz and Lee sent that letter to Harry Reid, I believe he will bring it up for a vote, especially if the Democrats lose the Senate in November. That's my gut feeling. They're going to try to do all sorts of things that have nothing to do with, you know, with our national security during those closing weeks of 2014. That's my fear.
I share the same exact fear that they will try to ram through a bunch of bad stuff in the Senate, this lame duck. So we've got to be vigilant. We're gearing up to fight it, with all we can to stop this treaty from being ratified in the lame duck session.
Okay, fantastic. And I'll definitely make sure I get something up on our website about that. And any communication we have with those on our mailing list, I'll include that in our next newsletter also. So how can, you know, we have action steps as far as what people need to do. Again, Senator Casey's number is 202-224-6324, 202-224-6324. Or you can call one of his district offices near you if you want to and ask him not to support the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And we can always thank Senator Pat Toomey also for opposing it, because he's also made that very clear. How can folks contact the HSLDA if they have any questions or homeschooling questions or questions on this treaty? Is there a number, or just be best to go to the website?
Well, you can call us anytime at 540-338-5600 to visit us on the webpage. You can go to hslda.org. We have a ton of information there about treaties, about homeschooling, about the Common Core. Whatever you are thinking about, you know, regarding education and the family, we've got that information for you.
Okay. You also have information about the Parental Rights Amendment, because you're also working on that, the amendment to the U.S. Constitution to protect parental rights.
Exactly. That's one of our top priorities, too. You can find that information at our HSLDA webpage or visit the parentalrights.org webpage.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, thank you so much, Will, for being with us today and for explaining the dangers of this nice-sounding treaty. I found that usually the nicer it sounds, the worse it is, usually.
Well, that's exactly the case, and don't be taken in by the nice-sounding name that they gave it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Okay, hey, thank you, and take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.